know what I mean. Put some miles on it. Back of the Chevy with the engine running. Just you and me in a truck that wide like a California king. We can break it in if you know what I mean. Put some miles on it. We can break it in if you know what I mean. Put some miles on it. We can break it in if you know what I mean. Put some miles on it.
Happy trails to you.
This is Phil Nee, and I hope all your trails are happy until we talk again later on WRCO-FM Richland Center. The news at 9 is sponsored by Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service, continuing the long tradition of caring service to area families. And the Phoenix Center, family fun at its best. There's always something for everyone, including bowling, legendary pizza, and video games. It is 33 degrees at 9 o'clock.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. With just 4 days before the election, Donald Trump and Kamala Harris are both focusing on the swing state of Wisconsin. They have dueling rallies in Milwaukee today, some not waiting until next Tuesday to cast their ballots.
More than 65 million Americans have already voted across the country. Data shows women outpacing men in early voting, 54% to 44%. Perry Russum, ABC News, Washington.
Harris and Trump were in the southwestern states on Thursday and will spend the final weekend before the election campaigning. Historic flooding in Spain now claiming 205 lives. Many streets in the Valencia region still blocked by piled up vehicles and debris. The unemployment rate out this morning. The number is expected to be much lower in October due to the ongoing Boeing strike and the southeast hurricanes, and they were. Government expected to report employers added about 118,000 jobs. The actual number, just 12,000. The unemployment rate remains 4%. This is ABC News. Pentagon investigators now say the pilot who ejected from a fighter jet, which then later crashed, should never have punched out. Details from ABC's Andrew Dimbert.
The investigation finding the pilot made a, quote, inappropriate decision to eject from the $100 million jet last September, saying the pilot incorrectly diagnosed an out-of-control flight emergency. The pilot calling in the emergency.
We have a military jet crash. I'm the pilot. We need to get rescue rolling. I'm not sure where the airplane is. It would have crash-landed somewhere. I ejected.
Investigators say he'd been flying in heavy rain when his helmet display stopped working. He prepared for a landing but missed the approach, and after losing communication with the control tower, he ejected.
The jet flew for another 11 minutes before crashing. Authorities in Los Angeles are suing Pepsi and Coke over their bottles. The lawsuit claims their plastic soda bottles can only be recycled once if they can be recycled at all. Sherry Preston, ABC News.
You work hard. Making the right choice for lunch isn't hard. The Phoenix Center opens at 11 Monday through Sunday with all your lunchtime favorites. Burgers, salads, terrific appetizers, specialty sandwiches, wraps, and more. Easy in, easy out. The Phoenix Center is the perfect way to break up the day. Can't get away for lunch? Let the team at the Phoenix Center serve you a great meal tonight, including the world-famous Phoenix Center Pizza. Call ahead at 649-7469 for carryout from the Phoenix Center in Richland Center.
This is Mark Jelenic of the Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service in Richland Center in Muscadet. We stand ready to help you in planning a final farewell to your loved one that is healing and meaningful. The days following a loss are never easy, but we can all find comfort in knowing we are not alone. A funeral and visitation are a positive contribution to the grieving process, providing a formal time to reflect, love, forgive, and find comfort in our loss.
Stay tuned for your WRCO Hometown Weather Watch, brought to you by the Schultz Mortgage Team. Call 608-738-8765. Remember, you don't need 20% down to buy a house.
A high in the low 50s today. Tonight, clear to partly cloudy and frosty, a low of 31. Saturday, 57. Saturday night, rain developing late and a low of 41. Sunday, cloudy and breezy with periods of rain and a high of 56. 68 on Monday.
It's quiz time. Here's your first question. Which senator joined the extreme left in Washington, D.C. to send COVID relief checks to prisoners, including the Boston Marathon bomber? Answer, Tammy Baldwin. Who backed puberty blockers and sex change surgeries for minor children in Wisconsin? Once again, Tammy Baldwin. Next question. Which senator even supported castration and mastectomies for minors? Time's up. It does sound crazy. But that was Tammy Baldwin again. Over and over, Baldwin has sided with the extreme left in D.C. Baldwin is for they-them, not you. And now for our final answer. It's time to replace Tammy Baldwin. Senate Leadership Fund paid for and is responsible for the content of this advertising, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee. www.senateleadershipfund.org.
It's been said, a goal without a plan is just a wish. This is Nick Hodge at the Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service in Richland Center in Muscadet. It's our goal to provide your family the very best service possible. That goal is the easiest to achieve with planning. Our plan is helping you pre-plan your arrangement. Plans can be as simple or as detailed as you desire. We'll help you create the service you desire and make sure your plan addresses all your concerns at the Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service.
Getting a great price is always satisfying, but enjoying quality service and already great auto and home coverage is the icing on top. Hi, this is Julie at State Farm in Richland Center. We will help you choose coverage that fits your needs and budget, in addition to our convenient day and night support to keep you going. All of this is especially important these days. Get a quote today and see for yourself at juliecarons.com or send us a text at 608-647-3632. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
WRCO Studios, sponsored by Richland Family Restaurant. Welcome to the community.
Welcome to the morning show on WRCO Radio. We're here to talk about all the great things that Kinship offers in our community and in Southwest Wisconsin. Joining us today is Director Michelle Nolan-Karras. Also, Judd Dvorak is here, who is a volunteer mentor, and Chelsea Wanneke, who is the board secretary for Kinship as well. Well, good morning, everyone. And Chelsea, we'll start with you. This is an important thing that you're a part of, isn't it?
Yeah, I've been involved with Kinship for several years. At first, I started as a mentor, and I've got to say the young lady that I mentored is now in her 20s and getting married and doing well, and it's fun to stay in touch with her many years later. That's a story of many mentors. They start with kids, and those kids mature over the years, and it's just a really fun thing to be a one-on-one mentor with a child. Because I had such a great experience being a mentor, then when there was an opportunity to join the board and just help oversee the organization, provide some support, help with fundraising, then that seemed like a good opportunity. So I've been serving on the board for several years now, and just want to encourage other people in Richland County and the area to learn more about mentoring and the possibility to get involved with Kinship.
So the story with your young woman who's now in her 20s and married, it started off and now it's like a lifelong thing for you, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, it's not always that way for everybody. I mean, sometimes the person they're matched with moves out of the area or things change. But a lot of the mentors start with children when they're young and stick with them. If the match is a good success from the family's perspective and the mentor's perspective, usually you meet once a week and you try to find fun activities to do or just free things in the area, just something that will give that child some one-on-one special attention. The young lady that I was with, we often went to Simon's and went swimming, or we just go to a fast food restaurant and go get some food and talk, or go to a park and walk around. just anything that we could think of. So yeah, we had that relationship for several years where we met once a week. And then as she kind of became a teenager and had more things going in her own life, we didn't see each other quite as much. But of course have stayed in touch as she's been in the area. And yeah, it's just been good to let her know that, you know, I was that adult that she could count on when she was younger, and I'm always still here for her.
Have you thought about being a mentor again?
Yeah. I think there's a lot of people that have been previous mentors that would like to come back to it as well. It's not a big ask of your time. Like we said, it's once a week for an hour. So you can think about everybody's busy and there's a lot of things that we do, but it's not a huge ask. It's just asking you to set that time aside for a child. And usually the mentors find it very rewarding themselves as well.
As your role, tell us about your role as Secretary of Kinship.
Sure. So our board of directors includes myself and several other community volunteers, most of whom who have either been mentors or they have a special interest in youth development or helping kids succeed in the community. Our board meets every other month, so we meet 6 times a year. And we really just kind of go over the financials. We hear about if there's any special events for mentors and kids. And we think about if there's anything additional that we want to do to promote the program. You know, we all think it's a great program, but we know that more people need to learn about it. Sometimes they've heard about programs like Big Brothers, Big Sisters, and we talk to folks that this is pretty similar to that. This is a one-on-one match between a caring adult in the community and a child who needs a little extra attention or an adult in their life. And we always think about those families who, you know, maybe want to reach out and say, hey, I think my child could benefit from a mentor, could benefit from someone else in their life, whether they're a single parent family or maybe just have some other things going on where they know that kid could use someone else. And we think those families are really courageous and really strong to ask for that extra help. And it works out really well most of the time.
Is Kinship available pretty much all over the Badger State?
So there are different Kinship affiliates. So we are kind of networked with a national organization, but it depends in your community if you have one or not. So the Kinship of Richland County has been here for a long time. We know there's one in the Portage area, so that's maybe not too far as well. But there might be other organizations that serve different communities.
Our mentor is here as well, Judd Dvorak. Judd, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having us.
You're kind of the VIP of the studio here.
I get that a lot.
Well, tell us about how you learned about Kinship and why you took the plunge.
Well, I was actually looking for something to volunteer for, and I went on the Richland County website, and I was looking for Big Brothers, Big Sisters. That organization, there wasn't anything on there, and I learned about Kinship. And so I just sent him an email, you know, and I just said that I wanted to volunteer. And then Michelle got to me right away, the director. Turns out she lives right up the street from me, and we're way out in the country. I mean, I'm in Henrietta Township, so it's a small, very rural. And so I was nice to meet her. And she told me about it and told me what, you know, what's involved and what you what your requirements are. And I thought it sounded great. And so I volunteered, and I'm on my third different kid, and I've had three totally different experiences. I've had kids that have single moms and really, really need someone to spend time with. And then the kid I have now has a really stable family. Grandparents are involved, uncles, aunts, parents. So it's different. Some kids just want someone for one-on-one time, you know, just to spend time with, go to their soccer games, go to the movies, just so they get that one-on-one time with someone that they might not normally get.
Mm-hmm. So is it does it vary from the children that you've mentored in terms of things you do and trying to find those common interests?
It does. Some of the kids that came from single mom homes or single parent homes that didn't have a lot of things that they did after school, a lot of activities and stuff like that, they would be up for anything. You know, anything was new to them. And I personally like to go fishing and hunting and outdoor stuff. So the kids that I've had, they all love that stuff. I take them out fishing in my boat, and I've had two that caught their first fish with me, and they, the smiles, just you wouldn't believe how happy these kids are to catch a fish. Things that I took for granted when I was a kid, you know, like I had my uncle teach me how to hunt and fish and stuff, and I just took it for granted that every kid got to do that, but they really don't. And so it's rewarding. It's much more rewarding than the time I put into it. You know, it's like Chelsea said, once a week for an hour. And, so, you know, there's no rule saying you can't spend more time. You know, like when I take my little guy fishing and we're gone for 3-4 hours sometimes. But he just loves the outdoors, loves to fish, loves to see where I go deer hunting. It's a very, very rewarding thing to do. And I wish I would have volunteered years ago.
It kind of dovetails into, we've had some DNR people on, we've had some hunting enthusiasts on, and they're talking about needing to get more young people involved in hunting. So that's one of the things, too, where you're getting them in.
Absolutely. You know, hunting, unfortunately, is getting to be a, it's less popular with kids playing video games a lot more now and after school activities and that. And when I was young, that's what we did after school, was we went out in the woods. You know, we didn't have all the activities that kids have nowadays. So it's really important to get kids involved in the outdoors, in my opinion, whether it's fishing, hunting, or just knowing about nature. You know, when I take them out in the woods, we're not just hunting. I'm showing them, okay, that's what an oak tree looks like. That's what a hickory tree. You know, this is edible. This is not edible. Don't eat this. You know, that those droppings over there, those are from a deer or a coyote, or, you know, and you, there are things that I've known since I was a kid. But when you see the reaction when you tell them this, it's just like, it's mind-blowing to them that somebody knows all this stuff, you know. So it's good to see how they, to watch them learn and to watch their eyes get open to new experiences. That's what's most rewarding to me.
Sounds like they get as much out of it, you know, as you do, and maybe even more for you then, right?
I hope so. I mean, it's definitely something I would recommend. If you have a little extra free time, you know, go and talk to Michelle about volunteering to be a mentor, you know, or if you have a kid that's over 5 years old that needs somebody to spend some time with, I cannot recommend Kinship highly enough. It's a great, great organization.
Yeah, I think sometimes we unfortunately think about, well, you know, they're orphans, or they're children with, you know, single parents, or maybe grandparents raising them. That's not always the case, is it?
No, it's not. Like I said, the child I mentor now, his family is great, and they're very involved, but he has a brother, and basically what they wanted was someone to spend time with their older son, one-on-one time. Because he was, with his brother being in the house, he wasn't getting that one-on-one time that they felt he could really benefit from. So I come and pick him up, and we do everything. We just, like Chelsea said, go to fast food sometimes, or a movie, or hunting, fishing. I mean, if you're interested in it, the chances are they will be interested in it too. I try to get him to experience as many new things that I'm comfortable with and that I know about as possible. I try to give him as many different life experiences at his young age as I possibly can.
Yeah. It's awesome. Michelle, this is a good testament right here for Kinship, Judd's story, isn't it?
Oh, it is. Yeah. I'm so impressed with our volunteers. We're so lucky. Right now, we're down to 8 active matches. So we've lost a couple of kids and volunteers in the last few months. But each match is important, and it's important to both the kid and the volunteer. So we're looking for more of each.
More of each. So yep. If people are hearing this and interested, and maybe a light bulb goes on about a child, what should they do?
Well, there's a couple of options. Excuse me, as Judd said, he emailed me, and you can do that. It's kinshiprc@gmail.com. And I check it every day. I'll get right back to you. And you can also call and leave a voicemail. It's 608-475-2886. We also have a Facebook page where you can leave a message. And there's also actually a P.O. Box 51 if you want to contact us through snail mail. So there's lots of options.
Are there some opportunities for people to donate to the cause as well?
Yes. Every year we send out an appeals letter in right before Thanksgiving, and we'll be doing that soon. Kinship has a budget, an annual budget of under $8,000 a year, and I'm the only part-time paid employee. Everybody else is volunteering, and it's basically we have to have like insurance, liability insurance, and belonging to the organization is about $400. The postage and all that stuff is covered. And we don't get any funding from anything but donations. So we're really lucky that people are willing to do that.
Hopefully people will remember you now as we get a little bit closer to tax time and everything.
That's true. Yeah, it is a 501c3 organization, and it's tax deductible, and we'll give you a receipt. So,
how long have you been involved with Kinship?
Well, it'll be 9 years in March, so it's been a while, and it is very rewarding. My husband has a Kinship kid, and so I get to sort of see it firsthand, and it's wonderful. They've been together 3 years, and this kid has really grown and changed, and I think it's been important to him to have a person of his own. He's a unique kid, and he doesn't get to be in charge very often. And when he comes out to the farm, he's in charge. It's anything that Randy suggests, he says, "No, we're not doing that. we're doing what I want to do," which is cool. And every year we do a survey with the volunteers and the parents of the kids. And his mother said that in the survey that his behavior has improved 1,000%. And I was like, well, that might be an exaggeration, but it's pretty nice to hear. So yeah. It's great.
That is awesome. So obviously there are some kids out there that could use some guidance and whatnot.
Oh, yeah. You know, as Judd said, some of them are really needy, need it very, very badly. And others, it's just a perk, but it's great. It's important for both. We used to have a requirement of a single parent family, but we removed that, and that's fine. So any kid ages 5 through 17 who lives in Richland County, that's the only requirement.
Most of the time, I mean, they work out. If it doesn't, do you switch mentors sometimes?
Sometimes like we do. It's surprising how often it does work out. But yeah, sometimes it just isn't the right fit. But that's why we interview the child and the mentor beforehand and try to find common interests and so forth. So
you gave the ages for the child or the student or whatever. What are the ages for somebody who could be a mentor?
Well, the mentor has to be 18 and up. There's no limit. Actually, Judd is one of our younger mentors. And so most of our mentors are retirement age, but they have lots of enthusiasm and lots of experiences to share. And that, you know, that it's great. So it doesn't cost anything. We do a background check on the mentors and do an interview. So they're very reliable people, and we've been really lucky.
Do you get sometimes references as well, maybe?
Definitely. They all have to provide at least 3 references. Uh-huh. We follow up with that. And yeah, we don't cut them any slack. There.
I was going to say the background check and that, they're very thorough. I mean, Michelle came to our house and wanted to see where my wife and I live and interviewed us and to see where I was going to be bringing potentially a mentee to spend time. You know, it's not like they're just asking for volunteers and having anybody that signs up be a mentor. It's not anything hard. You know, I mean, as long as you're not a serial killer or something, you know, is basically what I'm trying to say is they do their due diligence to make sure that the mentor is someone that is trustworthy with the young person. And It's really great.
Yeah, very important that you do that. Do the schools sometimes reference it there as well and maybe give you a clue that this student could use someone?
Yeah, we have gotten referrals from some of the counselors at the schools, sometimes the churches, parents, neighbors. So it doesn't matter who refers the child. The important thing is kind of the follow through. I respond right away, but it's a couple pages for the application. And for some families, that's a big obstacle. So I'd be glad to help them, you know, fill that out. Or sometimes like social services will help fill out the forms. And if that's a problem, we can deal with it.
Uh-huh. You'll do the legwork for them.
You betcha.
In other words. Sure. Chelsea, as you look down the road, what would you like to see as, you know, for the future of Kinship or some things that you could change or look ahead to?
Sure. Well, like Michelle said, this is kind of holiday season and giving season. So this is when we ask the community to help support the organization financially, very fiscally responsible and low budget organization. But it does take many hands to help make that light work. So we appreciate all of the businesses and community members who have donated in the past and would hope that some new and additional ones will come in and help out with this cause as well. Like we said, it's not a big ask of time for the mentors, but if you don't have the time, but you still think this is a great thing and you'd like to see more kids in our community have that connection to a mentor and you can't put your own time into it, you could put a little money towards it, and that helps to make sure that we have funds to do fun things with the kids. Like Michelle took a group to the Haunted Cave, the Eagle Cave, last weekend, helps pay the admission for the young people to participate in some of those things that they maybe wouldn't get to and do it with their mentor as a bonding experience. Coming up, we do, it's different annual events throughout the year for mentors and kids to interact with each other. A favorite thing in the summer is a picnic at the park, and we've done kayaking on the Pine River for several years. Again, a new experience for many kids, even those who live right in Richland Center, and they maybe cross the Pine River several times a day on the school bus or things like that, to get the opportunity to really be in the river and see that this is part of their community too. Always look forward to some of those events. And anybody who wants to get involved, please contact us and we'll find a way.
I'm sure trying to get the word out there, because I'm sure there are people that live in the community right now that don't know about this or what Kinship involves, right?
Exactly. So, we know that just kind of overall, everybody wants the next generation of children in our community and Americans to be healthier and mentally healthy and happy. And this is a way that people can take that vision and turn it into something real. If you're not sure, what can I do to help and to make things better in the future? Spend an hour with a kid every week and you know that you are making a positive contribution to the future. So when they are thinking about those things, hopefully they think about Kinship Inc. as a way to help bridge that.
Indeed. As far as the future, Judd, you're looking at more mentees down the road?
Yeah. The one I have, the young person I have now, it's like I said, it's really rewarding, and I'm hoping to be able to work with him for a long time. But I just want to really, really make the case that it's so much more rewarding than the small amount of time you put in. I get more out of it than I think I ever thought I would when I volunteered originally. Just to see the change in the young person from the time you get them till, you know, they've spent quite a bit of time with you, and you've actually, I don't, my wife and I weren't fortunate enough to have kids. So this is new to me too, you know, and to see the kid grow and things that you taught them, it's just, for me, it's mind blowing. And I would really, really encourage anybody that's thinking about volunteering to look into Kinship, because it is rewarding. And, you know, getting to the tax thing, if you donate to a national organization or, you know, Red Cross or United Way, they're great. But this is local. This is right here in Richland County, and your money is going directly to people in Richland County that it will help. And that's what I think is great about it. It's all right here in your backyard, and You know, if you can't volunteer, like Chelsea said, you know, a few bucks goes a long way in a small little organization like this. And every little bit helps. And if you have a kid who's between 5 and 17 who could use some, you know, someone to hang out with or someone to teach him something new, how to fish maybe, this is perfect. In my opinion, it's just, it's a great organization to be a part of, and I would highly recommend it.
Can't think of a better way to contribute to the future right there. I mean, because the children are our future.
Yes, they are. And, you know, there's so many things that kids have going against them now. Just to be a part of something positive is just great.
Positive organization. I know you're going to be putting together some commercials that we're going to be airing on WRCO, Michelle, but basically just getting the word out, right?
Right. Yep. I think more people are aware of Kinship than they were when I first started. And it's growing. It might be small, but, you know, it's steady and it's strong and we're growing and we're hoping more people get involved. So.
Could a mentor mentor more than one student at a time?
Yes, we have had that in a couple of cases. And sometimes it'll be a couple can mentor one child too. The primary mentor has to be the same gender as the child. But, you know, we have had a couple couples do that. And so, you know, we're flexible. We can find ways to have it work. We also have people, the mentors don't have to be from Richland County, but then they have to be mobile in order to get to the kids. Judd lives quite a ways from his child, the parents were actually meeting him halfway sometimes.
Yeah, I live in the near Yuba area, and my wife is involved too with the kid that I mentor. We'll do things, you know, just on it. We have a place that's been in my family since 1878. It's 160 acres, used to be a farm, and I'll take him back in the woods with her, and she'll point out things too, even though she's not a mentor. He loves spending time with both of us. You know, it's just that one-on-one time with him is what he really enjoys.
Yeah. Sounds awesome. And that's why you stay involved, right?
Some that's good true.
Stories like Judd's right
yep.
here. So.
Yep. Indeed. Brings tears to my eyes.
Yeah. Anything else anybody would like to add this morning? We appreciate you coming in.
Thank you for all having right. us.
Thank you, Phil.
You bet.
Thank
You're
you.
Welcome. Judd Dvorak, Michelle Nolan-Karras, and Chelsea Wanneke on this portion of the morning show talking about kinship.
Family Prescription Center, where your family always comes first.
This is Lynette at the Prescription Center. Our new store at 930 Sexonville Road is great. We have room, windows, and the same friendly people. Thank you to all who have continued to allow us to care for you. Please remember to check when you register with your provider that the Prescription Center is your preferred pharmacy. At our new location, we are now able to be pet friendly. If you are riding with your pet, please bring them in. We would love to meet them. It is Part D time again. There are lots of changes this year. Large increases in deductibles, the ability for your Part D plan to cover your copays, so January is not so expensive, and changes to cover drugs. It is important that you check your coverage for next year. We will do that for free. We have our drive-up in place, so pull up to the door and call 647-8806. Paul will run or walk your prescription and pet treats out. The Richland Family Prescription Center, where you and your family always come first.
Family Prescription Center, where your family always comes first.
Donald Trump's import sales tax plan would cost the average American family almost $4,000 a year more for everyday necessities, like groceries, school supplies, medications, clothes, gas. $3,900 more added to your cart every year.
Donald Trump plans to impose what is, in effect, a national sales tax. It will mean higher prices on just about every one of your daily needs. A Trump tax on gas. A Trump tax on food.
Instead of a Trump tax hike, we will pass a middle-class tax cut that will benefit more than 100 million Americans.
I will help families by letting you keep more of your hard-earned money.
Learn more at thetrumptax.com. Paid for by voters of these 50 states. Votersofthese50states.com. Voters of these 50 states is responsible for the content of this advertising, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
It's time for a WRCO 75th History Moment. We flash back now to sounds heard on the station in the 1960s.
3 days from now, after half a century in the service of our country, I shall lay down the responsibilities of office.
Come on, baby! Let's do
liftoff. There's ignition and liftoff. As the Atlas comes to land, it's beginning to push the 4,000-pound chimp-carrying spacecraft skyward.
At the moment, both the president and the Texas governor are in surgery at Parkland Hospital in Dallas, Texas. We have word that both are still alive.
Tell me why you're crying, my son.
Let this session of Congress be known as the session which did more for civil rights than the last 100 sessions combined.
This 75th History Moment is sponsored by Jones Chevrolet, Richland County Bank, and Walsh's Ace.
WRCO, for music and the latest news. This is the station that listeners choose.
Hello everyone, Kenny the Wannabe Baker here from Christie's Sunnyside Bakery and Deli. Shop local is the theme at Christie's Sunnyside. Not only do we sell local products, but we use those products in the foods we make and bake for you. So if you like local, check us out on Facebook or give us a call at 649-2253. We are open Wednesday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 4 p.m., Saturday, 8 a.m. to 2 p.m. Thanks again from Christie's Sunnyside, where every day is sunny.
Hear that? That's the sound of a Wisconsin factory creating good Wisconsin jobs. But now listen to what it sounds like when you add Joan Ballway.
Everything shuts down. Because instead of helping create jobs in Wisconsin, she's invested thousands of dollars in Chinese companies, helping them create jobs in China, even though Wisconsin has lost 90,000 manufacturing jobs to, you guessed it, China. And it doesn't stop there. During COVID and all the restrictions, Ballwig took $500,000 in taxpayer-funded loans for her own business and never paid it back, but voted against assistance to help other Wisconsin companies grow and create jobs right here.
So, if you want to hear more of this in China, vote for Joan Ballwig. But if you want good jobs here in Wisconsin, there's a better choice. Vote Sarah Kieske for State Senate.
Paid for by Kieske for Wisconsin.
This is an important announcement for Wisconsinites who plan to vote in the November 2024 election. Leading nonpartisan economists have analyzed the economic plans of Donald Trump and concluded that he would cause inflation to rise and the economy to slow. And 16 Nobel Prize-winning economists wrote a letter warning that Donald Trump would reignite inflation with his fiscally irresponsible budgets. Donald Trump's tariff plan would act as a national sales tax, costing the average family as much as $4,000 per year. But Vice President Kamala Harris's plan would help middle-class families deal with rising costs. In her first 100 days, Kamala Harris would pass a ban on price gouging at the grocery store. And as vice president, she worked to cap the cost of many prescription drugs, including insulin, saving many families thousands of dollars per year. On the economy, the choice is clear. Vote Kamala Harris for president. Paid for by a Better Wisconsin Together Action. www.abwt-action.org. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
Girls and boys in poverty around the world are dreaming of a better life, filled with dance, art, music, and knowledge. They dream of a brighter future with enough nutritious food to eat, a chance to learn and grow, to get an education, escape poverty, and do incredible things. Today, thanks to Children International and friends like you, such dreams are coming true. Together, we give children a chance to set their sights high and succeed in school and in life by ensuring that they have access to healthcare, education, life skills, and so much more so they can grow, thrive, and believe in themselves. Learn more about Children International and join us in our life-changing work at children.org today. Together, we can help end poverty for good.
On the next part of the morning show, we're here to talk about Smiles for a Child and the annual event put on by the Ombres Motorcycle Club and the Ithaca Lions Club, and it's getting to be about that time of year. In the studio, Marilyn Gilligan, Deb O'Connell, and Julie Cairns joining us on WRCO. And Marilyn, you've been in here a few times over the years talking about this.
I've been here a few years, yeah. Actually, for a long time, I shied away from it because you people scared me. But then once I came in, it was fine. Yeah. It's been going on 32 years. This will be 32 years for Smiles. Yes, it is. And thank you for Julie and her, all of her people for coming up with this wonderful idea, because we don't have the event anymore, which was huge for toy donations and money. And now she came up with this, and I have usually a trunk full, a back seat, and a front seat full of toys when we get done with it. It's amazing.
Oh, that's awesome.
It's amazing.
So you and your husband have been involved the whole time? Is that correct then?
Yes. Well, my first husband is gone now, but he was started, and then yeah. I remarried, and Gilly's been in it with me the whole time, and George McConkey, and Deb Frawley also. But the rest, we've had a lot of them retire. And we're actually retired too. We have retired patches on our vests, but we're going to stay in it this year and just keep it going. Keep it going.
It's amazing. 32 years. I was just thinking, you helped some kids that are probably in their 40s now.
Exactly.
You thought about that?
Exactly. And I was thinking about, you know, and we have a lot of them that come back and say, well, my mom got help from you, she told me, when I was older at Christmas time. And they've come back and donated, brought toys or whatever, and thanked us for helping them. Yeah, there was some things, letters and cards we've gotten that really tug at your heart. It's like, oh my goodness, thank you. We had one little boy that was ill, and his mom wanted a type of Game Boy for him to be occupied to go all the way to Madison and back for treatments. And he was only like 5. And it was the giveaway day, the distribution day, and she came and got his toys. And then she came back an hour or so later, and he had drawn us a picture. And we all hold back tears right now. I'm like, oh my gosh, no, don't cry right now. But yes, it was just, and he said, thank you, and here's a picture for you. Yes, and that's stuff like that that just keeps you going, keeps you wanting to help. Absolutely. Kids need help at Christmas to be happy.
That's very rewarding.
Absolutely.
And then going shopping, too. You've had some good fun with that over there.
That's just fun. It's like being a kid.
Yeah.
And the thing is, if you're shopping down, we go to Walmart a lot, and if we're shopping and we don't know what we're looking for, like when Coco Melon came out, I'm like, what's a Coco Melon? And so you grab a kid that's in the aisles and say, hey, do you know where this is? Oh, yeah, it's right over here. And they'll help you. And people that you see there are like, what are you guys doing here? They see us with the tags in our hand and bags. And we're not shoplifting, really. We are buying toys. And they'll say, here's a 20. Buy some toys for kids. I'm like, absolutely. Thank you. Yeah, it's just no matter where you go, everybody wants to help. And it's wonderful, especially in this area. Richland County is amazing for helping all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Just through all these years, yeah. We have a lot of bike clubs that in the past at our event would come in and drop a $500 check. We still have one. Vietnam vets still, Gray Fox still comes and helps us out if they can, if they have the money. I'm like, absolutely. Thank you so much.
Yeah, because the price of toys has not gone down over the years.
No, it has not. But you know, and we've had, I think, the price that we pay for each child, the money we spend for each child, has not changed in several years, because when the parents fill out the application, they know exactly what their child wants, and they stay right in that price range. Sometimes they'll give us even SKU numbers and prices, you know, so we know exactly what that child wants. And I guess we could talk about raising it, you know, $5 or so, but yeah, that we can usually get a good-sized bag and several toys for each child. And then, of course, like all the toys that are donated from the Julie's event going on, we have all those that we can either fill tags from, or when we're done setting up the distribution, we have all these extra toys. And we go through all the bags and add more toys, the extra toys that people give us. So they usually go out there with a good-sized bag, and there's a lot of stuff under the tree for the kids on Christmas morning.
Lots of
fun. Which
is
wonderful.
Yeah, no kidding. That's why you do it.
Yeah, makes a smile. It makes a smile on Christmas morning, that's for sure.
Deb O'Connell, why did you get involved with this event?
Well, I joined the Lions, and then one of the programs that the Lions had was Smiles for Child. And then I heard that Marilyn was going to not do it anymore, and so they were looking for somebody to take over, and wasn't sure if I could step into her shoes, and I know that it's going to be hard, but I decided to work on it and try it. So I started last year, actually. I haven't been involved too many years, and it's been a learning experience. There's a lot to do, and as I said, it's actually fun. It's fun shopping. I'm a big shopper for deals, and so I'm looking on and trying to find the best deal, and I'm kind of like Marilyn. It's like, oh, I think a child would like this. Let's just get this now, and maybe I can use it or maybe not. So it's been fun, you know, and everybody participates. The whole community does. It's just a wonderful program.
And you look over the applications then, is that correct?
Yes, so I am picking up the applications, and they're all private. I'm the only one who's seen them, and I fill out tags for the shoppers so that it doesn't have any of the information as far as who the child is or anything. It just has their age, their gender, and their desire of what they want. So that's the only thing on the tags. So, yes, I do look at the applications.
So the Lions are primarily looking at this and taking it over completely then. Is
correct.
That correct?
Yes.
Yeah. That's a big undertaking, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah.
I have lots of notes.
I was going to say, any idea the number of applicants, or does it vary per year in terms of how many children?
Well, Marilyn probably could say how much it varies, but I know last year we had a little over 300. I'm anticipating that amount.
Yeah, and in the last several years, it's ranged right around 3 to 350. And like I've always said, there was that one time in 2008, 2009, little recession time, that we had the biggest one was 465 kids. That was a lot of shopping. But we had the money. We had the event, and people gave. And we shopped and took care of every one of them. Every one of those children. And Deb's doing a good job. She's doing a fine job. She's learned a lot.
She will.
I have learned a lot.
And I told her if she needs any help next year, just give me a call. I'll help her out. So she'll do fine.
Yeah. You'll still be an advisor.
Absolutely. Okay.
Well, you guys are on here for a certain cause because the deadline, you got all kinds of things coming up here, but you're going to be accepting applications. Is that correct?
Correct. The applications will be at the Social Services Building and starting November 11th, which is Veterans Day, and they inform me that they are open on that day.
Okay.
And we'll be picking them up until November 27th, which is the day before Thanksgiving. I really kind of wanted to do that because there's so many sales at Thanksgiving time that if I need to, I can look at that as well. So that's the deadline. Our actual pickup date is at the community center on December 14th. So that also gives us Thanksgiving is a day that people, or a weekend people don't want to shop. So it gives us one more weekend to shop before the pickup date.
Maybe some Black Friday deals in there, right?
That's what I'm hoping for.
Yeah.
Or Cyber Monday.
Cyber Monday. It probably goes along with a little bit. I know every Christmas there's like a top toy that a lot of kids want.
And I don't know what it is.
I don't know what it is yet.
We find out when it comes to shopping, we find out if it's not Minecraft or, like I say, the Cocoa Melon thing.
Yeah.
That was huge one year. The big stuffed, overstuffed
Squishmallows.
Yes.
Oh, boy. I wouldn't know what that is.
Oh, yeah. You'd have fun shopping. We'd put you with George. Guys, it'd be great.
You talked about the Cocoa Melon. I had a friend of mine do the Spanish translation, just update the forms for me last year. And so I texted her and I said, I can't figure out what this person wants. They want a Cocoa Melon. So what is that in Spanish?
Cocoa Melon.
Yeah, she looks all over and she says, it's not Spanish, Deb. I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah. It's an education, isn't it?
It is.
That's right.
It is.
That's right.
Julie Cairns is here, and Julie, you'll be providing a little reindeer magic again this year, won't you?
Yeah, I mean, looking at the deadline, November 27th, you said, right?
Yes.
And then we had some talks with Santa about, when will you be coming through our area? And he's like, well, it looks like probably November 10th-ish. So that's what created the event, was the reindeer event, is that's when Santa's coming through. We want to work with deadlines. So yeah, Santa will be there, Mrs. Claus, live reindeer. We have a new backdrop that Ryan just found. It's super nice to put behind the reindeer, so if you want your picture taken for your Christmas card. And then we'll, of course, have cocoa. And then Freddie is going to have his kettle corn, like making it fresh on the spot. So some of that will be, you know, on us, have a little sample. I think he'll have some for sale too that day. And of course, the whole point behind all of this is to have fun, but also to give an opportunity for folks to bring new unwrapped toys for Smiles for a Child. And as Deb said, yeah, I think it was maybe their first year, her trunk was stuffed, the back seat, the front seat. Like, I was worried about her driving away. I'm like, can you see through your vehicle? I mean, you leave the insurance office with, like, no, you know, good vision. And then the next year, I think we had to bring the trailer, which was phenomenal. And already this year, we have a wagon in the office full of toys.
Already?
Mm-hmm. Already.
That's amazing.
So I'm very humbled by that, because I always feel like, is it coming off right? Right? Like, this event, these ideas, and to see people come in and just quietly drop a new toy off in the wagon is very special. And yes, as Marilyn was saying, there have been a couple that have dropped them off that said, Marilyn and her group helped me 25 years ago, and I'm helping now.
Oh, nice.
Just gives me goosebumps.
Exactly.
It's so so precious, I think, to see people be humble about giving back and honest about their past. So yeah, I hope that it's very obvious to come. I mean, just get some cocoa, get some kettle corn, meet Santa. Hopefully you've been on the good list and you can share your list with him and have a relaxing day. The weather forecast I've been watching looks good. Looks 54 and sun.
Ooh, good.
So hopefully you don't need ice cold beverages instead of we're going to have cocoa. But yes, Rockin' Reindeer Parking Lot Party, November 10th, 12 to 2. So you can go to Chris's event, the
Chris Coe's.
Oh, yeah.
And then come on over to our event.
So, I think last year there was. You had
there
an
was.
Event also.
There was.
Yes.
We're limited with how long we can go towards Christmas when doing some of the other fundraisers. And so this is kind of the last week we can really do.
And Santa was not going to budge. Santa just made it very clear. Julie, we're coming through Richland Center Sunday, November 10th, 12 to 2. And I said, Santa, you're the boss.
Right.
We'll work around you. It's just, it's his world. We're just living in it. So.
We were on with the people that are behind the benefit for Chris Coe the other day, and that's November 10th. The Lions are going to be busy that day, Deb.
Yeah. We are going to be busy.
Yes.
Lots of things to do. And then your event, November 10th, that's the day before people can start picking up applications, too.
Which, again, was
very
kind of
timely.
It was timely. And again, of course, Santa was in control of most of it, but at the same time, we did want to be very in tune with dates and timelines. And I know a couple of people have said, Julie, my goodness, November 10th seems so soon. But when you think of these dates and these deadlines, it's just not. Like, we need to start this now. And who doesn't want to start shopping, right? A little early.
Right,
especially for toys. So, yeah, it's been – time is perfect. Timing is perfect.
Is this the second annual Rockin'
Reindeer?
Third annual.
Three-peat. It's our three-peat, as we call it.
Okay.
Yeah. And I'm sure we'll go for four-peat, so, yeah.
Sure.
Awesome.
Yeah. Well, hopefully Ryan doesn't hog all the time with Santa, you know.
Well, he already – I don't know if you check out our Facebook page. Santa actually came to the office for a visit.
Oh.
With Mrs. Claus, and they showed us how they wrap the toys, which is why we need to give them unwrapped, because they have a special way of wrapping them. And Ryan was gone that day.
Oh, okay.
So he probably will be somewhat consuming on the 10th, but yes. Yeah.
Did they check out the deductible on their sled then?
He did.
Okay,
he did. Yeah, he added some comprehensive coverage.
All right, good.
You know, so, yes.
Never a dull moment. It's going to be
never.
Fun. That's awesome. And again, if people are interested, maybe they're motivated. Is there a place now where they can start dropping off toys before this?
Julie Karen State Farm.
But that's
the only one.
It's been for several years.
Yep.
It's Julie's.
And any financial, any money can be dropped off at any of the WCCUs within town.
Okay. So they know what if you go in with their donation,
they'll
know what to do.
Yes, just say Smiles for a Child. Yes, they do know.
In our office, we actually have two wagons. One's for the food pantry. Mm-hmm. We're a permanent drop-off site for the food pantry. And then we have now the Smiles for a Child wagon, which is overflowing. So.
Yeah, and it was amazing last year how many toys we got. I was standing by a little toy because I'm the elf.
She will
help Santa out. And I'm the elf. And those little kids just come up to you with this toy, and they're like, hi, I'm here to help. And especially the older ones, because they get a little inquisitive as to, why am I giving this toy? You're helping other children because Santa's so busy making your toys.
Right.
I have to think fast sometimes. Those kids are pretty smart.
For sure. Yeah. And Santa was open. He said some of these toys he just can't make anymore.
Or,
you know, that's just beyond his ability. So that's been a big plus, too.
Yeah.
Sure.
So,
good. Lots of fun. Again, November 11th, people can start picking up applications. And then you have until, what's the deadline?
November 27th.
Okay.
Which is a Wednesday. Wednesday before Thanksgiving.
And then the toy pickup is?
Is December 14th. It's a Saturday.
Okay. Good to know that.
And it's the same as what we've always done. It's at the community center, toy distribution, and it'll be the drive-through. Same as what we've done for several years since COVID came along.
Oh, a drive-through then.
Yep. And it works out very nice. Mm-hmm. We have people in the front of the building with walkie-talkies, walkie-talking inside, telling them what numbers the people need on the bags, and then they drive around the back, and we bring them out, put them in the car, and they take off. Yeah. Simple, simple.
And it's all anonymous, too, right?
Yes. Oh, yes. Yep, absolutely. There's no, when she fills out the tag, there's only a number. Each application gets a number.
And the bag has a number.
And the bag has a number to coordinate with that tag that's in the bag. Mm-hmm. So no, there's no names. It's just an age, the number on the tag, and that's how we've always done it.
That's awesome, because someone might be intimidated to walk in and pick it up, too. Mm-hmm. So.
Right,
Well, same thing with, I've heard some people don't want to go into social services.
Right.
And so they can send somebody else to pick up the form. They do not have to personally pick it up.
Right.
Okay. It's good to know. Thanks for all you do, ladies.
Yes, thank you very much for having us all the time.
Yes. Appreciate it. Yeah.
Thank you.
And we'll see you on the 10th at Julie Karen State Farm.
Yeah, 12 to 2, Cocoa, Kettle Corn, Reindeer, Santa.
With Santa, I know him.
Yeah. Why is that?
The Morning Show from WRCO for a Friday.
Hi, I'm State Representative Tony Kurtz, and I want to thank you for trusting me to be your voice in Madison for the last 6 years. I'm proud to be a leading advocate for rural Wisconsin and what we've been able to accomplish for our farmers, veterans, and middle-class families. But there's still more work to do, and that's why I'm asking for your vote. You can count on me to keep fighting for our region, our values, and our way of life. Thank you for your continued support.
Paid for by Kurtz for Assembly.
Rockwell Automation at Richland Center would like you to know that if you are a part of a nonprofit organization or 501(c) and have opportunities for Rockwell employees to partake in, please let them know. The team is looking for volunteering and donation opportunities within the surrounding communities. If you would like to partner with them or have any questions, please call 608-647-9400. They look forward to extending their community involvement. Rockwell Automation, ingrained in the community, dedicated to making a difference. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Boarding House Antiques in Richland Center, where you can treasure hunt in 17 rooms of antiques and gifts. There's live music at the Garden Stage every second Friday of the month, June through September. Tammy and Margie invite you to visit Tuesday through Saturday. Check out the historic Boarding House Antiques. Check them out on Facebook and their webpage. They buy antiques. 339 West Seminary Street in Richland Center, next to the depot.
Welcome to Pratt Chat. Pratt Chat is a service of the Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service of Richland Center in Muscadet. Join us each week for a conversation with Mark Jelenic of the Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service for answers to questions that we're all hesitant to ask. Pratt Chat is sponsored by the Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service.
Mark, I know a lot of people have ideas about what they would like to do when they're gone. What does it mean to not have a funeral?
Yeah, so we have people bring that up a lot. They'll say, well, I don't want a funeral. But what that means to them is they don't, most of the time it means I don't want that traditional funeral that you see in movies of a visitation, everybody dressed in black, a casket up front, the crying, the mourning. You know, they want something more uplifting. So they want something a little different. So a lot of people, when they say, I don't want a funeral, they think, well, if I don't have that funeral that you think of, that stereotypical funeral, that I really shouldn't have anything, because that's really the only thing that makes sense. But for a lot of people, that isn't what we want. They don't want it, so we don't want to do that for them. They think a funeral has to be something in church. You have to have a minister. And that's really changed with society. If you look at a lot of churches in the area, you know, there's a lot of closings and consolidations, and attendance has really gone down. So society has changed a lot with religious beliefs and affiliations with churches. And that comes into play when it comes into funerals and death as well. So you may not want to have a funeral, but we really think it's important for you to have something, whatever that something might be, to kind of at least acknowledge that your life was important. Now, some people get depressed and they'll say, well, my life really wasn't important, but that's not true. You had an impact on somebody. You influenced somebody's life. We just want to find something that's important to you and to remember your life. So there's different things that you can do when you say, I don't want to have a funeral. Well, what do you want to have done for you? What was important to you? One that comes to mind recently, we had an individual that really liked being outside and in parks and in nature. So we were able to cremate him, and we actually turned his remains into rocks to be put into different parks and in streams and places that meant something to them. So it's not necessarily spreading of ashes, but it's placing a rock or something, a memento for people to bring home, something that's special to them. How do you make your life important? Because your life was important, but how do we remind people of who you were, the importance that you had on them, and the impact you had? So even if you don't have a funeral per se, it's really important to have something, whatever that something might be. And I think as a society, and especially in funeral homes, we saw what happened during COVID, where we were not able to have funerals. So people were not allowed to gather, to grieve, to share those stories, which is a huge part of it, is to share the stories, to spend the time with their loved ones, to acknowledge the importance of the person that had died. And that really led to